Good evening and welcome to the Damansara Reformed Baptist Church evening gospel service. And we welcome you and pray you may know the Lord's blessing even this evening. Our reading today is from the Book of Mark and chapter 4, where we continue in our series. The Book of Mark and chapter 4, and we'll begin reading from verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So there was Mark chapter 4, the ending of Mark chapter 4. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word and all that it is to us. It reveals in it yourself in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It reveals your great love towards us, lost mankind, and it reveals the plan of salvation, which you have so fully accomplished for your people. We see, O Lord, that you are an awesome God, a God who is high over all, a God who is able to do anything, even more than we can imagine. You are our Creator, and you are the God who secures the salvation of your people. You are the God who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to this world to dwell among men and to teach and to be with them and to even die for them that they may have life. And we do thank you for all these things, O Lord, and we do thank you for your word, which shows us all these things, which makes these things clear to us. And we pray that even this night, you would bless us and make and help us to learn and help us to see these things from your word. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us with hearts that are ready to hear your word, ready to seek after you and to praise you. We pray that you would help us to put aside any distracting thoughts or even any worries or burdens in the past week as we come to approach you, the Holy God. We would pray that each one here would have ears to hear. And we pray especially for those who are yet to know you, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. We pray that you would be especially gracious to them and bless them, O Lord, with the gift of salvation, even this night. So do be with us. We pray you would bless us and be with us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that in all this you may have all the glory. So we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Our message this evening is from the Book of Mark in chapter 4, beginning from verse 35. And it has been a long day of teaching for the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts his day at the beginning of Mark chapter 4, and he teaches the multitudes from the seaside. And then he spends a more intimate private time with his disciples, but But whether it is to a big group or whether to a smaller crowd, he is constantly teaching. He's constantly laboring in word and doctrine. And yet, when we come to Mark into verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ wastes no time. That very evening, we see that he wishes to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a large lake in the middle of the River Jordan, which cuts across Israel. And the area of Galilee was the place most blessed by the Lord during his earthly ministry. On both sides of the Sea of Galilee, we see him working, we see him constantly teaching and preaching and working miracles. And truly, there's no place in the whole land of Israel that was so blessed by the Lord during his time here on earth. And so even this evening, we will see Christ at work even in the middle of the sea, working in the storm. And as one final point of introduction, we see that in verse 36, when they left the multitude, they took him, they took Christ along in the boat as he was. And Christ, after the long days, long day of teaching and preaching, he would have been tired and weary. It had been a fruitful day, and he was so weary that he fell asleep. And so in such a condition, the Lord was so exhausted, yet he's still on the move. He's still moving and looking towards those for whom he came, for whom he would bless. And in the midst of all this, we come to our narrative. So in verse 37, they crossed the sea and a great windstorm arose. Now, windstorms were not uncommon in the Sea of Galilee. The geography of the region, it was a very hilly place. And the Sea of Galilee was in the valley. And the way it is arranged meant that the winds often descended on the lake, and they often had strong seasonal winds. And the winds, and it is this wind that that those accompanying Christ, his disciples, perhaaps a few more in the boats around them, encounter, and it causes the sea to rage. We are told that it was truly big waves enough to cover the boat. And when we are in a storm, we can often be awed. We can often notice the thunder and the lightning. It's so awesome, but it's really the wind that is so dangerous. And not many of us, I would assume, are seagoing people like the Lord Jesus Christ here. But the raging waves can be so dangerous, and it is so different to encounter a storm at sea than to encounter a storm on land. And we remember that these particular waves were strong enough to cover the boat and start to fill them, as we read here in verse 37. And as we think about the storm with the disciples and which Christ encountered, let us also think about the storms of life. What are the storms of life? Just like the storms in the Sea of Galilee, they are unpredictable, but they are seasonal. They will come. They come to all of us. All of us have encountered the storms of life. There's that external force, the wind, that is so out of our control. It is violent and strong, and it may come in the form of persecution. It may come in the form of poverty or instability or loss or betrayal or sickness. So there's this external, there's this wind that comes. And oftentimes they lead to raging waves, inner turmoil, within us. They lead to anguish, and they lead to grief, and they lead to burden, anxiety, disappointment. And we see that that the external leads to the internal, just as the winds cause the waves to rage. And they rock our boat. They rock the core of our lives. We are shaken by it, overwhelmed by it, and even sometimes it threatens to sink us. And so we see that we do encounter these storms in our lives. And perhaps it may even be sin that is that thing that that affects us. There may be great outward temptation, and there may be an inner battle, an inner turmoil against raging sin. And the guilt of it, the consequence of it, even in this life, they threaten to overwhelm us. They come at us like raging waves, you know, particularly sins like lust, like temper, sins that, yes, there are outward temptations to entice us to it, or to trigger it, but the core of it comes in our hearts, and it can be so hard to bring under control, and they can certainly bring us down and sink us. And in the face of this fearful storm on the Sea of Galilee, Christ was still peacefully asleep. But the disciples, they were very worried, alongside the storm and the waves rocking the ship, threatening to sink it. Inwardly, they must have been very shaken also. And they call out to Christ. They call him, verse 38, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Christ wakes up. And Christ wakes up and he rebukes the wind and he speaks to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And we learn from this, first of all, that Christ has authority. Christ has power. And it is not power, authority like the authorities of this world, not even military power. It is supernatural power that Christ has. This is the first miracle in the book of Mark that is over nature. And it is very dramatic. Never in this life would you see anything like this in the natural course of things. You know, normally when the wind subsides, it does so slowly. Here, at the mere word of the Lord Jesus Christ, it ceases. You know, even more when the wind subsides, at sea, generally the waves will still continue. They will continue to rock. They will continue to be raging. But not here. The sea was immediately calm after Christ speaks to it. And outward trials, they may be gone, but inwardly they may still rage. But we see here the complete control of the Lord over nature, over the weather, by a word. There's really nothing like it in this world. We have made tremendous progress in science, but no one can say that they have control over the wind. In fact, we have such trouble even trying to forecast the weather. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is Lord over all. He is God himself. Of course, he has power over it. And notice how he addresses the winds and the sea separately. He rebukes the wind, and he says to the sea, "Peace, be still." And they stop separately. You know, the Lord could have easily just stopped one without the other. And once again, there's no natural explanation for it, but it is the work of Almighty God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, we see even from this that he can do anything. And having done so, the Lord turns to the disciples who had called him, who had cried to him. And there are two questions. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, let's look at the first question. Why are you so fearful? The disciples, we can see that they were afraid. They were afraid for their lives in the midst of the storm. It was so clear from even how they approached the Lord and their desperation. We can commend them, of course, that even in their fear, they still did one thing right, which is they cried out to the Lord. It was almost an instinct for them. Christ was not a seagoing person. Christ grew up as a carpenter. And these men, his disciples, many of them were fishermen, but they still knew enough that in this desperate situation, no matter how familiar they were with boats, they knew enough to call to the Lord Jesus Christ. And nevertheless, there was still a gentle rebuke by the Lord toward them. The Lord could have been much more severe, but he very gently, he says, "Why are you so fearful?" And fear, we see also, led those accompanying Christ, his disciples, to abandon their trust and their loyalty, to do something that they would regret. And it showed their lack of faith. And so we come to the second question. How is it that you have no faith? You know, no faith to utter the words, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" You know, Christ expected more from them. And he had every right to. Hadn't he done many mighty miracles before their eyes? Hadn't he healed? Hadn't he cast out demons? You know, some of the disciples may even have seen the water turn into wine. You know, we may not go through the same storms, but can we not have faith that the same Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from previous storms, can still deliver us now? You know, the disciples, they couldn't translate, you know, what they had seen in the healings and in Christ's power over the body, over even the demons, to his power over nature. It didn't cross their mind. Fear had blinded them. And in the same way, you know, what about us? You know, surely all of us can speak of the goodness of the Lord in deliverance. You know, at the very least, for those who know the Lord, can we not say that we have trusted the Lord with our souls, with our salvation? Can we not trust him for all else in life? Can we not trust him with mere bodily things, with dangers in this life, with the storms that we are going through? And even for those who have not yet known the Lord, surely there's some gracious dealing of the Lord with you in your past, some deliverance, some arrangement that he brought to pass. I do not know what it is, but the Lord is gracious to all. And can you not trust him with your salvation? Can you not trust him with your situation? And we also see, would you not want to have the faith and have the blessings that come with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And can we not look to the record of deliverances that we have? You know, I've only given a few, two examples. It should be the bare minimum. We really should have a list of things that we have seen the Lord deliver us from, things that we are thankful about, things to praise God for, things to bring into remembrance from time to time. And these things, we must make sure that in the midst of fear, in the midst of anguish, in the midst of the storms of life, that they are brought to remembrance, that we have, so that we may have faith in the same Lord who delivered us then and would deliver us now. Okay. And we also see that it is not just us. There are many others around us who have testified to us of the goodness of the Lord. You know, we know people who can say, "Oh, the Lord was gracious to me in this way, The Lord delivered me out of this trouble. We see it even in the scripture. So many examples of how the Lord never fails his people. We need only read Hebrews 11. We can read of the deliverances of many of the saints in the Old Testament and in the New. Can we not have faith that the same Lord that delivered them can deliver us? That Christ cares and that Christ is almighty to save. And so often fear clouds faith. Just like how the stormy clouds obscure the sun. But we remember that just above the clouds, the sun continues to shine. The sun is ever present. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is almighty to save, whether in peace, whether in the days of brightness and calm and good weather. But he is also almighty to save in the storm. And we must never be fair weather Christians only. We must especially look to him and trust in him, even in the storm. And we remember also that the disciples, they had no right to be fearful. Even if the Lord chose not to save, they should not have been fearful. In some circumstances, it may well be that it's the Lord's will that we go through and that we continue in turmoil. In some cases, it may even be the Lord's will that we die. And it's certainly his will that we go through storms. The Lord will send trial, and he will send trial not all the time, but periodically through our lives. And we do not choose, nor do we delight in them, but we know that these things are ordered by the gracious God. And we see that the Lord also sometimes, he being in control, he sends storms into our lives that we may get much good out of it. And even when we don't understand, we know that he can work by it and that he does not send trials for no reason. And he does so even in this, even here for the disciples. This storm, although it caused an unworthy reaction in the disciples, yet it gave them a lesson in faith, a lesson that would strengthen their faith, that would cause them not to fear later in life. And it gave them a record that reaches us so many centuries down the line, even now. So we see the Lord's purposes in sending trial and sending storms. And perhaps an example, the John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, he was caught in a storm. He lived a wild life as a young man. He was rebellious to the extent that he was the captain of a slave ship. And he found himself in a storm in the middle of